Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersPlus.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Demographics, the study of the structure of human populations, explains much of what happens. Everything from the baby boomer generation now reaching retirement age to the effects that will have on Canada's economy and how governments at all levels should be preparing now for the post-boomer years. Today on Encore, we'll meet the outspoken and occasionally controversial David Foote, an economist at the University of Toronto and author of the best-selling book Boom, Bust, and Echo. He contends that demographics explains two-thirds of everything. With this understanding, a business, a government, or you will have a strong foundation upon which to build a vision for the future. David Foote, welcome to Encore.
Pleasure to be with you.
Now, there are all kinds of people who make projections and prognostications, but can you give us a few examples of things you successfully predicted on the record through your study of demographic data, which actually happened?
Well, we could certainly see the impacts on the youth unemployment rates in the 80s, and they came back to hurt us in the new millennium as the children of the boomers entered the workforce. We certainly see what's happened in the Middle East as a result of not educating women and them having five, six, seven children and those children not being able to get jobs. We knew that the boomers would move from minivans to SUVs to luxury automobiles, and we've seen that switch take place. So there's a number of examples out there that prove that demographics can certainly be a valuable vision on the future.
Now, we are part of a global economy. Looking at demographic data here in Canada and in other nations, what are a few things we should watch for, say, over the next 10 years?
Well, for example, in Canada, we knew that college and university enrollments would start to plummet a little earlier in the east, in your region, a little later in central and western Canada, because the number of births went down in the 1990s, and so you know there's going to be fewer 20-year-olds coming in 20 years later. And this was an opportunity, as you know only too well out there in Atlantic Canada, to open spaces for more overseas students. But just admitting overseas students isn't enough. We have to be able to support them. We have to be able to vet their applications and so on. So there's another example of something that's here and now that we knew was going to happen 15 or 20 years ago.
We're just days away from the federal election. Are there things that demographics suggest should be in the platforms of a party that wants to lead the country for the next 5 years, which just aren't there as you've surveyed the platforms?
Well, the boomers are now in their 50s and 60s and madly trying to save for retirement. And these ultra-low interest rates simply do not help. And dropping the interest rate to try and stimulate the economy only works when you have a young society, because young people borrow and spend. It doesn't have nearly the impact it does in an older society. And there's no one in the political parties or even in the Bank of Canada that seem to understand that at the moment.
You say that we're now on the other side of the demographic mountain with the baby boomers starting to retire. How might that play out over the next 15 years?
Well, it certainly result in significantly lower growth. First of all, let's understand that Japan is the oldest country in the world, and that's why they've had lower growth in the last 10 or 15 years. Europe is older than Canada, so that's why they now have lower growth, and we're about to have even more lower growth. And we've got to adjust to a new world of lower growth, and that's not bad. It's good for the environment, and it could create some jobs for those 20-somethings that are badly looking for them.
So how would a wise government invest money in the economy to deal with the demographic shift that's now underway?
Well, infrastructure is always a good idea. And infrastructure takes on many forms. We know about roads, but we also know about internet, the needs of the internet these days. Infrastructure, making sure bridges don't fall down. Infrastructure is an excellent long-term investment in the economy. And it'll take different forms and have different needs in different regions. But a wise government would be thinking a lot more long-term and investing in infrastructure.
And that includes, say, investing in, say, internet connections, high-speed internet connections?
Yes, definitely.
And what about the divide between urban and rural? Certainly, we've seen a long-term trend of people moving to the cities.
Well, people move to the cities when they're young. and then they tend to move out to the suburbs, which we now call cities, by the way. We keep expanding the definition of a city across the country. But they move out to the suburbs to raise their families. So in their 20s, they want to be in the cities downtown where the noise and action is. In their 30s, 40s, early 50s, they want to be out in the suburbs where they can raise their children. And then, believe it or not, as they get to their late 50s and 60s, they want more peace and quiet in their lives. And some of them are moving back to smaller towns. And that's putting a lot more pressure on our smaller towns, particularly with regard to the delivery of healthcare services. And so don't presume that cities are going to continue to grow. Immigrants are in their 20s, so they go to cities, and that's the one source of growth for our cities in the future.
Now, over the past few decades, you've advised provincial governments about the effects of aging on things like healthcare and social services. Were they listening?
Oh, no, they don't listen, but neither does the private sector. So let's not just point the finger at government. Basically, we've become very short-term in our thinking, and so these medium and longer-term trends that demographics points out are going to occur inevitably tend to be lost in the mix.
For instance, can you cite some examples in this region? Did anyone consult with you?
Well, certainly there was a whole book that New Brunswick brought out, developed by the senior civil service, talking about the need to have a good rational approach to health care, not only in the hospitals but in the home as people got older, that we need to have a very different approach to a health care system that we should be been developing in the 90s and into the new millennium, and clearly that hasn't taken place. But it's not just New Brunswick, it's right across the country.
You're listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersPlus.com, the website where retired men and women with years of career experience connect with employers seeking their expertise for short-term assignments. I'm Costas Halavrezos. I'm speaking today with David Foote, an economist at the University of Toronto and author of the best-selling book Boom, Bust, and Echo. He contends that demographics explains two-thirds of everything.
Now, again, despite that demographic information, you say senior decision makers in both the private and the public sectors have lost sight of long-term trends and become more short-term in their orientation. What's driving that?
Well, one of the obvious reasons that this is happening are bonuses. If you pay someone an annual bonus, they only think one year at a time. And that's rampant in the private sector now. And so when we've cut profits to encourage businesses to invest long-term, if they can't see a return on their investment in the next 1 or 2 years, they don't invest. And business has all this money as a result of lower corporate taxes in Canada, but they have invested. All they've done is paid it out in bigger corporate bonuses. And we've now introduced that private sector thinking into government. And so instead of civil servants having jobs for life, if you like, which encourages long-term thinking, we've brought that short-term reward system into government. We now pay bonuses in the civil service. It doesn't create efficiency. It just creates the here and now approach to every decision we make.
Is it too late for governments to rethink their priorities and deal with the effects of the bulge of aging baby boomers and the generations that come afterwards?
Well, it's never too late. It's never too late, and it depends, obviously, on what the policy is. Certainly, the boomers in their 50s and 60s and with their aching joints are now using pharmaceuticals, so it would have been awfully nice to have a pharmacare program in place by the time the boomers got to their 50s and 60s. We know that, in fact, in countries like the Scandinavian countries, the hospitals don't just deliver care in the hospitals and dump them out quicker and sicker into the communities with no follow-up care like we do in Canada. That, in fact, you should have follow-up care to make sure people continue to take their medicines and so on. And the whole question of health care in the community is something that we're hardly even talking about. We have ad hoc programs that sort of appear and disappear. It's very difficult to provide and very expensive to provide health care in the homes, in the community. But we should be talking about these things right now, because once the boomers get to their 70s and 80s, that's what they're going to need.
Looking back to the period when the boomers were just entering the workforce over the past 40 years or so, I guess in that period, we've seen wages ultimately suppressed, and we've seen a growth in economic inequality. Was there a demographic cause and effect there, or is it something else?
There is a small demographic cause and effect. You know, my point is that demographics explains, on average, two-thirds of everything. A much higher percentage of school enrollments and educational enrollments, and probably a much lower percentage of things like income inequality. But there is an effect there, because if you get more and more people in their 50s and 60s, they're their savings years, where they've saved for their, tried to save for their retirement. So it looks like the average of the population is getting richer in certain segments of the society, and that tends to increase the inequality measure. But all it is that that massive boom is moving from spenders when they were in their 20s and 30s and 40s gradually into savers in their 50s and 60s. And so more wealth is concentrated in fewer hands in their pension savings or their savings for their pensions. So it contributes a little bit to inequality, but I'd say if I was to pick a number off the top of my head, about 10%.
Well, Dr. Foote, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure.
David Foote is an economist at the University of Toronto and author of the best-selling book, Boom, Bust, and Echo. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send us an email. The address is encore@boomersplus.com. And now would be an excellent time to visit the website at boomersplus.com. If you're a recent retiree or approaching retirement, connect with employers who are eager to tap your years of career experience for short-term assignments. If you're an employer, go to boomersplus.com to find seasoned professionals without all the hassle of traditional recruiting methods. Simply go to boomersplus.com and register now. It's free. Tune into Encore next week at this time to meet men and women who'll share the insights they've gained and the new opportunities they see in work, leisure, and health for Canadians aged 50 and up. Because experience never retires. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Have a great week.